Welcome back, guys, to Cover Six Flex. I know it's been a minute since I've been on, but today we got a special guest. He's a writer for SI, Sports Illustrated. Name is Marlo, and he's going to be joining us today. We're just going to talk all NFL. So I'll let Marlon, I got a friend named Marlon, so sometimes it's going to slip out like that, but his name is Marlo. So I'll let Marlo introduce himself.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me. As always, man, it's an honor just to get on any podcast. The host of this show, he's a cool guy, man. We work together. We've had a lot of fun, had some laughs, talking football. So thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Okay, so we'll just start off right off the bat. Like, I remember when I saw you where we were working at, this guy literally, what the? Okay, I don't know what he...
Bicycle.
Right, and all he's doing is going in a circle. Okay, all right, let me stay focused. I remember when we started talking and you were telling me that you were really trying to get the SI job. So tell me, now that you finally got it, like, what did it take? I mean, was it like one of the hardest things you've ever done? Like, was it just perseverance or what? Tell me.
I think the biggest thing was it was just a big test for me. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of betting on yourself.
Right.
Like, we applied for it in January, and I didn't really get it until like a couple weeks ago. Man. So I'm like, they kept telling me, we getting close. So I'm studying stuff. I'm trying to stay on top of my game, staying sharp, supporting them still. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we were doing that. And I'm just like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get it. But I'm like, I'm going to stay ready regardless. So I can't remember how the exact process went. But, you know, they let me know one day I was getting close and that I was going to get the interview going. So I told my mom, and my dad was like so excited. So I'm like, I can't let him down, man. I gotta go get it. So now it's just we're in the opening stages of it, and it's been fun so far. It's been an absolute blessing, man.
Okay. Now you write for Kansas City, the Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we can start with that. Patrick Mahomes has been struggling mightily, and it's shocking to most of the NFL. But I will tell you before I ask your thoughts on it. It's something that, you know, my podcast listeners know, I've said many a times that he was going to come back down to earth at some point, because if you and I'm serious when I say this, there's a podcast, it's called Hashtag with D. If you ever want to look up what I said about Mahomes, the day after he signed his deal, $500 million, I said on that pod, as much as people think this guy is going to go out and he's going to break all these records and all, I kept telling everybody, when you sign a $500 million contract, what you have to understand is it's a no-excuse contract. You don't get to say, oh, we had injuries here. The offensive line isn't that good. The defense is bad. You don't get $500 million and get excuses. That's a we think you're going to make everybody around you better. We think you're going to be in the top five every year. Completion percentage, touchdown passes. Like, nobody else gets that. Like, Mike Trout doesn't get to say, well, we didn't make the playoffs. And that's not my fault. Like, now he's fortunate because he's in LA, but it's a LA that's kind of nobody talks about. But when you're the face of the league, you're expected to perform. So his struggles also, what I said on that pod was basically teams were very inconsistent in how they defended Kansas City. I always felt that way. When you look at his worst games, take this year away. Just take this year away, because he's had a lot of bad games. But we're not talking about this year. Just look at his worst games throughout history. 49ers in the Super Bowl, right? The Chargers that same year, twice. He had an 80 rating in both games. That's divisional, right? But they did the same thing. Cover three, pass rush, no big plays. Make them run the football, right? That's the number one thing. When you get to the red zone, they can't run. So you pretty much know what's coming. Then New England. His first year, right, in the AFC Championship, they lost. What did Bill Belichick do in the first half? Well, all he really did was play too deep and say, I'm not going to let Tyreek Hill get behind me. Everybody else underneath going to beat us. So what happened? They scored 3 points in the first half. Yeah, they made a comeback in the second half, but that first half was where New England won that game. They won the game because they stopped the best offense in the league, held them to 3 points. There's other – even a game with Jared Goff and the shootout on Monday night. Mahomes had 5 turnovers in that game. But we don't talk about that. We talk about, oh, he put up 40 or he put up 50. But all I'm saying that to say this. My number one thing, if somebody said, how do you stop the Chiefs? Make Patrick Mahomes be patient. If you want to stop that offense, You have to be consistent. You can't have a down where, oh, Tyreek Hill single covered. You know, oh, well, we let Kelsey run straight down the middle of the field. Oh, well, we let Patrick Mahomes get out of the pocket and make up. No, you got to play contain. You got to play too deep. And you got to double hill at all times. If Kelsey is at this point in his career, if he catches 10 for 133, that's not going to kill you. But it's the over-the-top shots that makes their offense dynamic. It's Mahomes getting away from three or four defenders, throwing one deep down. That's what kills you. And if you could stop that, and teams have this year, they've stopped the big plays. You haven't seen it as much. So it's not as much of a shock to me. But how do people in Kansas City feel about it? I know it's, I'm sure it's overreaction some ain't worried about it. But what have you seen?
It's been a little bit of a mess to me. And yeah. Let me just let you know, the way you just explained that was absolutely, I couldn't explain it better. Okay. I couldn't explain it better.
Thank you.
But I think what a lot of people are thinking about it right now is that you can still look at it and find positives in it. Like, they're starting to be more patient. Mahomes is showing he can mature as a quarterback.
Right.
And if you look at what they've done over the opening drives of games and things like that, they come down the field, they dink and dunk, get you 7-8 yards every pass, mm-hmm. and they're getting down the field. The problem is that Mahomes has had so many of those, like, tipped interceptions, just mm-hmm. unlucky plays. And
right.
The idea is that, you know, that's eventually going to change to a point where it won't happen as much. But it's been a situation where he struggled with that. And you can sort of see it in the way he's playing, like, mentally. Mm-hmm. They had a play yesterday where Cole Harmon was out on the flat, and instead of giving Harmon a chance to catch it, you know, Mahomes just threw it out of bounds. He just threw it right over his head. So it's in his head that he needs to be more conservative.
And, right.
I was looking at his stats yesterday, and he was like 13 for 26 for like 85 yards, and it was just, he's just very conservative at this point in time. But
he's my QB in fantasy.
I was going to ask you that. I'm like, okay, you did all of that, but you picked him first overall. So
I picked him last year first. Like, I picked him, I think I was, it's a dynasty league, so I picked him fourth.
Right.
And obviously last year he had a great year.
So dynasty maybe is different rules than that, because you almost never pick a quarterback first in, like, regular fantasy.
I know, and it's one of them, like, it's, I will say I don't regret it even now, because he's not going to look like this forever.
Right.
Like, this year just may just be a struggle for him. That's fine. But I know that odds are he's going to turn it around. And having the weapons he has, that helps. Having Andy Reid, that helps. So I'm not too worried. It sucks because last year he wasn't even the reason I won the league. But this year he's a lot of the reason I'm losing.
I can see that.
So it is what it is. That's part of it, right? I mean, I hate that I was right, because I'm 4-4. Like, if I lose one more game, I probably won't make the playoffs. So it's one of them things. But you know,
got me thinking about something else when you said that, though. Have you seen the way that the Baltimore Ravens are doing it with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah,
because they got to pay him big now coming up too. So what they're doing is they're acquiring, you know, draft capital and making it easier when they do give him the big deal. So I kind of wonder if the Chiefs maybe should have done something like that.
And that's what I said on the pod when me and D we talked about it. We said, we thought they forced it because he still had 2 years left on his deal. That's the whole thing. Like, I was like, okay, I don't have a problem with you saying we're going to pay this guy. We think he's the next big thing. That's fine. But 2 years left on his deal, it didn't hurt you to say, well, let's wait and let's see, you know, let's see how it shakes out. But I think his success early hurt him, because you win an MVP your first year, and your next 2 years you go to the Super Bowl. You know, you're going to get a huge deal. Like, right, so, but it hurt him in the sense that now his struggles are coming right when the deal is about to come up, and they don't have wiggle room. Like, you look at their defense. Chris Jones, Matthew, Thornhill. That's about it for their impact players on defense. And it's not going to change too much anytime soon because of that deal. You're only going to have a certain amount of cap space. Hill, Kelsey, Hardman, him taking up a lot of cap space. You got the offensive line. They traded for some pieces in the offseason, but it hasn't been what they thought it was going to be. So they'll find a way to always make him the centerpiece, as you should. I mean, if you make that investment, you got to protect that investment. But they're in a weird spot where it's like, okay, we think we got this guy that's, you know, the franchise quarterback. But now we're in a position where that defense that was bad for such a long time and he bailed us out, now he's struggling, so he can't bail us out, but the defense is still bad and we can't really change it like we would like to. I mean, they want to change it almost overnight, but you can't. You know, that's going to take some time, you know. what always amazes me about great players on defense, the Reggie Whites, the Lawrence Taylor, maybe not the Lawrence Taylor, because he did have Carl Banks, he did have some other guys around him, Aaron Donald, guys like that. It always amazes me that nobody around them develops. You would think, if I'm drawing double, triple teams,
yes,
that I would, like, okay, so Kansas City, when they first, like, before Chris Jones really became Chris Jones, Dee Ford was there, and he was getting sacks. But he got hurt. He made a couple bad plays. They didn't like it. They traded him. Well, since then, nobody else is really, you know what I'm saying? Aaron Donald, what'd they do? They traded for Von Miller. Why? Because nobody else was getting to the, they weren't taking advantage of Donald killing it. It's crazy how that worked. Like, if you told me I'm coming into this system, and every play, I'm going to face single team. I'm never going to get double covered because they're going to pay attention to that dude. Wouldn't you think that would make your development faster? Wouldn't you think? I guess not. Man,
you're getting single coverage every time.
Right.
If you're talking to a Khalil Mack fan, so I'm.
Yeah,
he's,
you
getting
know.
Chip blocked.
You
know. He's lining up wide. Right.
Everybody out there. Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, this dude gets 14, 15 sacks, and nobody else can get you 6, 7 of them. Like,
it's crazy. I will say Leonard Floyd for you guys, and we'll go ahead. We'll start talking about the Bears since we already came into that.
You know
who
Leonard Floyd plays for now, right?
Yeah.
The Rams.
Like same it's crazy. Like, he's a guy, whatever, I don't care what his career winds up being. Even if he, like, let's just say he winds up being a little better than good. Like, right? Not very good. Very good is, like, borderline Hall of Fame. But let's just say he winds up good. He's going to look back on his career and say, how did I not take advantage of prime Khalil Mack and prime Aaron Donald? He
should be a two-time Pro Bowler, right?
I mean, at least, right?
He's playing well. Don't get me wrong.
He is. But they traded for Von Miller for a reason, yeah. Right? I mean, if he was killing it, if he had 10 sacks right now in through 8 or 9 weeks, I don't think they make that trade because they say, okay, we got our guy on the other end. He going to get it done. But he's playing solid, but, hey, that's how it goes. Let's talk about Justin Fields because we were talking about this way back in, August. Excuse me. Before the season started there, we thought he should start based on we thought he was better than Dalton and the fact that just from what he showed in preseason that he could handle a little bit more. Now, his first couple of starts, you know, he's had a couple really bad games, and I know that's not all on him. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's, you know, some of it is you're a rookie, some of it is play calling, some of it is offensive line. It's a lot of things that go into it. But what have you seen from him personally that makes you say, this is the guy?
Good question, man. It's been tough because there's been so much stuff that's going wrong with us over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I just love his ability to run the ball. I mean, that's been the biggest thing that stands out is just his ability to extend plays, get out of the pocket. The one thing that I really want to see even more is for him to develop some chemistry with Allen Robinson, especially they plan to keep him over there. It's been horrible. It's been horrible seeing that. What he's done with Mooney, with Darnell Mooney, has been impressive.
Right.
It's been inspiring. But I don't know. I want to see him with a different play caller, too. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a theory among Bears fans that, you know what I'm saying, you can tell when Matt Nagy, he's calling the plays as opposed to Bill Lazor. Like, those are two different. Because we'll go from a hook route from Mooney for 20 yards to a bubble screen where, you know, our line had to go to the second level. Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's tough. So I just want to see him with a consistent play caller before I really decide to, you know, evaluate him fully like that.
I don't usually judge rookies too much. I will say, this year, what you've seen from most rookies, well, pretty much everybody except Mac Jones,
right,
is that they've been struggling. So that's, I would assume that would be more of the norm, that like more of the rule, not the exception. Like, Mac Jones is the exception. But it also points a picture, too, to how good a coach Belichick is, right? To see that, to say, I think he's better than Cam, or at least that he gives us a better chance to win than Cam. I'm going to go with that guy. We'll cut Cam, even though I thought maybe he should have stuck with him. But, hey, every organization makes that point at some point, and you can't have that guy behind him who could possibly take his job in case of injury or whatever. I like what he's shown so far, and I'm talking about still on
Justin Fields.
I would probably say I'm with you on that. I want to –
because the weird thing about it is he hasn't really had a lot of time to play with the first string reps.
Right.
To get reps with the first string, rather.
Right. It's been like, what, a month?
Yeah. Total. Been a month. And, like, in the preseason, he's playing with Jesse James and Jasper Horsted. Those guys, like, he hasn't. That's why he can't get connections with Allen Robinson yet, because he hasn't.
Although I like Horsted. Like, he got some ability. Like, he got that dude got some ability. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, those are third and fourth tight ends. So that's really the point. I mean, you can't. We don't know who you are when you're playing third team or second team or sometimes. Like, it's a completely – because you're also playing second team defense, right? I mean, so it's, you know. Yeah. But I'm with you on the Allen Robinson. This guy is one of the most underappreciated players.
Man. Like, remember we were talking about in the KFC program a lot about Brandon Marshall?
Yes.
Allen Robinson is that guy. He's QB.
It's true.
He's a guaranteed 1,000 yard.
Yeah.
Whatever.
If
whatever
you could throw him the ball.
And that's what I don't get. That's what I don't get either.
Yeah, because he's one of them guys that, like, it surprises me that he doesn't. Like, he's a lot like D-Hop, where don't matter who the quarterback is, he's going to produce.
System proof, QB proof.
Yeah. So, you would think with a talented quarterback like Justin Fields, that he would have more opportunities. But I don't know. I just – sometimes as an offensive coordinator, it's one of those things, right? You got to go with what your quarterback is comfortable with. And Mooney is that guy where Fields obviously feels that connection to him, and he loves throwing to him. I hope that it gets better, because I don't want to see Allen Robinson have 40 catches.
He's going at the end of the year. I know that.
Oh, that ain't no question. And that's a shame too, because he's one. I'm telling you, man, that guy, he one of them dudes we gonna look up, and he gonna wind up signing with a Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers, and then we gonna wind up looking at him saying, man, he had 85 catches for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, and we didn't know he was this good. No, we knew he was this good. He just – it was tough. Last year at Trubisky – and I don't knock Trubisky. I always liked Trubisky.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, you know, I
– it's hard to find fans that like him, but I like Trubisky too, man.
Look how good he's looked with Buffalo. I mean, that should tell you right there. Like, okay, it wasn't all Trubisky. Like, yes, he has to take some blame, because – if you're in the same system for 4 years, you have to take some blame for not playing well, you know. But at the same time, if you go to a different place the very next year and all of a sudden you look like
he bought out in that preseason,
like you're better than a backup, yeah. You know, not necessarily a starter, but you're definitely better than a backup. Well, I got to look at the organization you came from. And he sure talked that noise, too. He was showing, like, oh, it's nice to feel wanted and all this stuff. I was laughing. I was like, all right, I see you, Trubisky. I see you. The 49ers, there's not much to say. We're 3-5. We deserve to be 3-5.
Some bright spots over there, though, man.
It's some.
Debo Samuel is
okay.
He is
okay.
The real.
I'm about to crush all 49ers hopes and dreams right now. Debo Samuel leads the league in drops.
Listen, you wouldn't know that.
Nobody would. You wouldn't think a dude who's top five in receiving leads the league in drops, which tells you he's really good and could be even better. But every week, and it's always early. Oh, it's always the first or second drive of the game against the Bears. Ball hits him right here. He didn't jump. Right here. Drop. Next drive, exact same thing against the Bears. Drop. I'm like, then in the second half, yeah, he killed it in the second half. But what we, when you're a great receiver, consistency is the name of the game. And I'm so tired of the first and second drive every week. It's almost like he has to get a drop just to get locked in.
Like,
but outside of him, he's been playing well. I'm not knocking him completely. If you're great, drops are not a great. That's not a, like Jerry Rice, right? If you look at his numbers every year, you didn't look at drops and say, oh, he's top five. No.
Didn't he lead the league in, like, drops his rookie season? Like, when he first started?
He might have in his rookie year.
Judy came in last year. They were like, oh, he dropped this, dropped that.
He did,
Jerry Rice was –
But as a rookie, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, this is his third year. I expect you to not lead the league in drops. I'm not saying you can't drop passes. But to lead the league in drops, that's a problem. Like, that – you can't have that. So
– let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I know you know about this kind of thing.
Okay.
So his target share, is he leading the league in targets too? Because that would kind of explain it at least a little bit.
I know it's up there. I know every game he's getting at least 10. Like, so, you know, sometimes Jimmy stares him down too. And I hate that about him. But at the same time, it's tough, because when you have a great receiver, When you have a guy who dictates coverage, how can you get mad at the quarterback for staring him down? It's like Aaron Rodgers. Oh, if he threw a pick trying to throw it to Devontae Adams, what are we talking about? I mean, it's Devontae Adams. I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you got to live with those results. So, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I just would like to see him focus a little bit more on though, because that's one of those stats that you know that's all mental. That's all that is mental. Because when you catch the ball, you lead the league in yak. So it's like, okay, there's a disconnect there somewhere, but.
I feel like a hypocrite talking about this because my favorite player ever led the league in drops every year.
Really? Who?
Brandon Marshall, man.
He did? Okay.
Fumbles, drops. Gets you 1,500 yards.
But that's okay. Yeah. That's okay, though. That's okay. At least you didn't say Jay Cutler or Jeff George.
My second favorite player.
Right now, boy. Cutler. Oh, man. Jeff George clone. Oh, he was better than Jeff George, but, I mean, they had the same kind of, I'm going to just throw it.
$1 million arm, 10-cent brain.
Yeah, exactly. But the 49ers, I would say they're a team that they are what their record says. Like Bill Parcells said that a long time ago, you are what your record says. Let me tell you, they are the most talented but the worst 3-5 team I've ever seen.
Should look good against us, man.
No, we didn't, and that's the crazy. That's what I'm saying, though.
Chicago couldn't get them off the field on third down. It was every time Jimmy G dropping back first down.
But that's the problem. It's been more of a exception and not the rule. You know, we put it together for that half at Chicago, but just a perfect for instance. Yesterday against the Cardinals, go down the field and score. Okay.
Oh my God.
We come out, hit Kittle over the middle. It's a 30-yard gain. He fumbles. Now, the dude made a great play. I'm not saying he didn't make a great play. And Kittle was out for 3 weeks. So, okay, yeah, you're coming back from IR. Fine. Okay, I'm not going to completely destroy you. But you got to know the guys are going to try to knock the ball out. That's a basic part of football. So he fumbles. Cardinals go down and score. Next possession, Brandon Ayuk catches a pass. He falls down. He gets up because nobody touched him and doesn't realize that the guy coming from behind, the exact same guy, punches the ball out. We're down 17 before we blink. To Colt freaking McCoy.
Texas legend.
It was embarrassing. And I'm not as sure as I'm sitting here. This girl actually tweeted out that Ayuk's fumble was Jimmy's fault.
I don't see the connection. I don't see it.
Bro, this is what 49ers fans on Twitter are like, okay? Whenever anything goes wrong, it's Jimmy's fault.
Blame Jimmy.
It's always his fault. Because they want to see Trey Lance. So they'll throw that in there no matter what he does. Yesterday, he played a good game. But when your offensive players fumble the football, that's not on Jimmy. It's not like, oh, well, you know what? He threw it and then it got punched out. No, they caught it and ran and then it got punched out. Not on him. He played a good game, but when you're down 17 and then you finally kind of get started after, first of all, you shouldn't be going down 17 to Colt McCoy. I don't care who. Without DeAndre Hopkins? Wait a minute. What are we talking about? On the road?
Chase Edmonds got hurt. Like,
bruh, no Chase, no D-Hop, no Kyler Murray. No problem, said Arizona. But that's a microcosm of what the season's been like. It really has. You know, it's brutal. It's the defense. D'Amico Ryans is in his first year. There are times when I really blame him or stuff. Like, for instance, week 3 was his fault. I don't care what nobody said. I'll die on that hill. Devontae Adams had 17 targets. Every other player on the Packers had 4.
Oh, that last drive. Oh, my God.
Like, you can't sit here and tell me that you don't know when Aaron Rodgers goes back to throw. He's throwing a 17. You can't. Not in that game. You can't tell me that. You can't sit on that last drive. You can't sit there and tell me with 37 seconds to go, we can't stop him. I don't want to hear, oh, but it's Aaron Rodgers. No. Make him beat you with somebody else. That's all you got to do. They didn't. Should never have lost that game. And then from there, it was just downhill. But they're 3-5 team. The crazy thing is they're one game out of the wild card. Because Atlanta right now would be they have a 4-4 record. They're the last wild card right now. So they're in it. Now, next week, they play the Rams, and the Rams are going to be angry because they lost last night. They got embarrassed last night. Like, they're a team that, as I kept trying to tell people, because people after the first 2 weeks, you know, Stafford looked like... But I was like, you guys, he was a Detroit Lion. All right? You can't trust a guy who comes from Detroit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I really am. Like, and sure enough, since that 2-0 start, he's been up and down, up and down. It's the same way he was in Detroit. It's not. I mean, that pick he threw yesterday to Bayard.
End zone. Oh my god! Then he threw two of them back to back. Like one was a pick six, one was. Oh my god!
I was like, you got, and we had people complaining on 40. Oh, we should have got Stafford. Nah. I'm good with what we got. Like, I'm good. And I don't knock them. I'm saying, look, I got Kupp and Jefferson in my fantasy. So I like them enough that I know they're going to produce. But to say that he's going to lead them to the Super Bowl, I don't know about that. We'll see.
And they were my Super Bowl pick. So
They were your Super Bowl pick?
They were my Super Bowl
really?
Pick. Just Sean McVay. You see what he did with Jared Goff?
Yeah.
I've always thought Matthew Stafford outpunched his weight in Detroit. Like, okay. Those teams didn't really have business being where they were.
Okay.
So I was of the belief that they were going to do that.
Okay. And they still might. Hey, look, at the end of the day, you're what are they, 5-3, I think? So yeah. You're still in a good position. I mean, all you got to do is go 5-3 in the second half, and you're in.
I think I bombed it. I had the Rams and Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year.
And I would probably say one, not both. We'll probably make it there, but it's going to be hard for both of them to make it. The Titans, we got to talk about the Titans because here's a team that they were 0-1. They were down 16 in the second half to Seattle in week two. They come back. They win that game. They win the game next week. Then they lose to the Jets, right? They're 2-2. Everybody say, oh, they're not really that good. Since then, four straight, they won their first game without Derrick Henry, right? Right now, they're the number one team. They're the number one seed in the AFC. What are your thoughts on them? Because my thoughts are simple. I think everybody's known, you know, on my pod. I've been a huge Ryan Tannehill fan forever. Like, since he's become a Titan, the guy can play. Like, and he is in the perfect system for him. They run the football. They do play action. They hit you over the middle of the field. He can throw a great deep ball. He's very underrated, I think, to a certain degree. But now I think he'll get more shine because Derrick Henry ain't there. So if they win, you got to point to him now. And that defense is playing pretty great, too. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what was worrying me at the beginning of the year was the defense.
Yeah.
You know, they came out week one. They gave up, 38 to the Cardinals?
Yeah.
So,
and Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones, I mean, four sacks in the first half. Like,
God, that guy, man.
Hey, he's a Hall of Famer from that. Just from that.
He's incredible. That guy is a player, and I can't believe they didn't want to pay him.
Arizona?
Yeah. Hey, all right, we'll take him next year, though. He's going to be a free agent after the year, so, you know, he's gonna have suitors, Jared. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just saying, just looking at the way they were unhealthy at the beginning of the year, just whenever they were able to get healthy, it was going to be a different story for me.
Right.
Remember, Julio had the bad hamstring. AJ right. Brown had the bad hamstring. So right. We never really knew who this team was until just recently.
Right.
And I don't think Julio's reached his you know, full potential there just yet.
Right. Right.
Getting you, four catches, 40 yards.
Right.
So I think we're going to see the effects of Derrick Henry's injury over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Adrian Peterson, Jeremy B. Nichols, they're going to be able to hold it down for just a little bit longer. But I don't see them holding it down for as long as everybody thinks they was.
Okay. We'll see. Let's see. They got the Saints next week. That'll be interesting.
That's a win.
The Texans. That's a win. At New England.
I'll take New England. You know how he does those receivers.
He does. And Belichick is Belichick, so I don't ever. That's why I said that's interesting. If they lost, it wouldn't shock me. If they won, it wouldn't shock me. Jaguars. Well.
Well, I mean, maybe we would have thought. Remember, they just beat Buffalo yesterday, so.
That's true. That's a good point. And held them to six. Didn't just beat them. Held them to six. Like,
Trevor Lawrence missed a lot of that second half.
Who played?
What are y'all got? CJ Beathard, wasn't it?
Oh, CJ Better. Okay. Beater. Okay.
If you don't know what I don't know.
Yeah. CJ Beater, I think that's his name.
Yeah, he played a lot
in
the second half. So.
At the Steelers, home to the 49ers, then Dolphins and Texans. They could get 11 wins easy. it's a question of the Saints, the Patriots, and the Steelers. The rest of them teams, they should beat them. Because two of these teams, Texans and Dolphins, they got, what, one win? Two wins?
Yeah, they played yesterday, too, in that game.
Jaguars got one or two wins. I know they upset them, but, you know.
I see why he's on his fourth, fifth team.
Yeah.
Just from watching him yesterday, man. That was a horrible performance by him.
That's brutal, bro. How about Cleveland without OBJ? So what do you think about OBJ? First of all, do you think he has something left?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I've always been a big believer in guys when they prove themselves.
Yeah.
And he's been open. Like, there was a big 11-minute montage.
Bro, did you watch it? I watched it. Bro, I'm telling you, I didn't do nothing but laugh. I was like, because, you know, when somebody make one something like that, you kind of like, he ain't going to be open that much. You like.
11 minutes of just him getting open. But
bruh.
To me, his ceiling was always capped by being on the team where they run the ball as much as they do. You know, with Chubb.
I mean, that's always the case, yeah.
D'Ernest Johnson, who would have thought he'd be Emmitt Smith like he was a couple weeks ago?
Right. But so. I will say this, man. The 49ers run the ball more than anybody. Debo leads the league, or he's top three in receiving. The one thing I would say is this. When you run the football, your quarterback has to still be able to make that connection. And you could just tell it's just not a connection between him and OBJ. It's a weird thing. Like, you would see him be open. He would hit the defensive back in the back. He'd throw the ball to Odell's legs. He'd throw it high and over his head. There's something there that's not. And, look, I'm not going to completely kill Baker because OBJ has been hurt. So that connection, which was good at first, it's lessened over time, and he's getting used to throwing to everybody else. It's different. You know what I'm saying? So I can't completely make it like, oh, it's all Baker's fault. No, I mean, even if I work on it during the week, because he has been absent most of the games, I think he's only played 28 games in Cleveland. That's a very small number for 3 or 4 years. So, look,
a lot of surgeries.
Yeah. Exactly. So who you think he's going to wind up with?
It's going to depend on if he does the waivers or if he does free agency. Because I was hearing this morning, LeSean McCoy was talking about if he's able to decide, he's going to go to the Chiefs. I'm like, I don't really see that being the case. I think if we're looking for a perfect medium between the two, I can see him going to Seattle. That would be like the ideal situation for him as far as, you know, being in a situation where he can get the ball. As you know, Russell Wilson comes back, he's going to be passing the ball. They got Tyler Lockett on one side.
I say the Seahawks, 49ers, and Saints.
Those are the three teams?
And that's the three teams, yeah.
The Saints would have been fun if Michael Thomas was there.
And if Jameis was healthy, yeah.
That's my favorite player right now in the NFL right now, Michael Thomas. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be a situation where I think he's going to want to get the ball more. But right. Also find a balance where he can win, too. So.
Right.
I see the Seahawks being the team that he goes to.
Okay.
What do you think?
It's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. Yesterday I said I think he's actually going to go to the 49ers, even though they don't usually do that kind of thing. They're not that – I mean, they've done it a few times, but it's not usually – you know, usually somebody becomes available. They're not that team. But he had been wanting to go play with Shanahan for a minute before the Browns trade. And I don't know. I mean, I could see it. But if he gets to choose his destination, then, hey – everybody got 33% chance, although he said he might prefer the Seahawks. So we'll say they got a 40% chance and the other two teams got a 30% chance, right? So, you know, that's still not bad. I mean, here's what I would say if I were him. I think you have to look at the quarterback. Obviously, Russell Wilson's better than either quarterback on the other team.
He's not going to an inaccurate quarterback at this point.
No. I don't think so. No. And that's why I didn't think the Saints were a real threat, because I was like, okay, he's going to have Simeon or Taysom Hill throwing to him. I mean, come on. This ain't rocket science. He ain't going there. Like, ain't no way. Jimmy G, I mean, it just depends on what he thinks, which organization he thinks can win. Because what I'm assuming he's going to do is just play the year out, right? I just assume he would just take the one-year deal, play the year out, and then reassess his options, right? So, you know, I would say from that perspective, you probably would think Seattle would be the place. You know, you would – him and Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. That ain't fair, man.
Yeah.
Who also having fantasy. But
yeah, always the neck injury, man.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I if he winds up there, hey, they're going to be tough to stop.
Yeah.
They were tough to stop anyway before he got – you know, so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to see where he winds up. But if he wound up with San Francisco, I think I'd be a little more surprised now that we're 3-5. But hey, you never know. I mean, I think that's the good thing about OBJ being where he is. All he's got to do is play the year out. And even if it goes bad, I mean, you don't lose anything, right? I mean, you can still go next year to wherever you want to go, sign a multi-year deal, whatever it is, incentive-laden deal, you know. Because the Browns are playing most of his salary, right? So, they ain't losing nothing. So, right now, week 10, right? The Raiders, you know, what a brutal couple weeks for them. You got John Gruden came out with what he came out with. which, by the way, in those reports, I know he's not the only one. He's just the only one they scapegoated. I mean, you got 50,000 emails. You ain't gonna tell me it was just one guy making bad decisions, bad words, bad jokes, whatever it is. Guaranteed that it was more than that, but they only wanted to, you know, they had to incorporate somebody, so they was like, well, you're gonna be the guy. And then the Henry Ruggs thing last week, and then now you got this corner that they drafted last year, and now they just cut him because apparently he was involved in the DUI last year. I mean, dude,
Josh Jacobs was. They say he his charges got cleared, but in January he had one too. Like, everybody knows. And somebody was saying maybe it wouldn't be that way if they weren't in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like, they were still in Oakland, it'd be different.
Maybe so.
But character is character. Like, you
either. That's true. That's a good point. We can't make excuses for multimillionaires. Yeah. Like, I can't give you all them excuses, man. Because here's what I know. I'm not a multimillionaire, and I know not to do that. I know if I do go drinking, and I'm not a drinker, but I'm just saying, if I went drinking, I know what I need to do to get home safely and without putting everybody else in harm's way. I don't know if you heard, but they said the NFL has basically an Uber system where if you're drinking, just call one and they pay for it.
I believe it.
So why aren't these guys doing it? And you know what I'm thinking, right?
What's that?
These guys ain't driving Toyota Corollas, right? So they're driving fast cars. And when they drive those fast cars, it's an ego thing, basically. Yeah. You know, I'm showing off what I got. So even though I go to the club and I get drunk, I'm not going to think, well, I'm just going to leave this here. No, I'm going to still drive home. And that's the craziest thing to me. You don't live 10 minutes from the club. Most times, right? So that means you're going to drive at least 30 minutes. You're going to get on the highway. It's going to be 1, 2, 3 in the morning. You're asking for this kind of situation to happen. And guys just have no respect for life nowadays. It's a crazy thing, you know?
Saddest part to me is that they say Henry Ruggs' best friend died from like a DUI, like a situation like that. So you don't learn. And he had the mother of his child in the car with him. I'm like, man, it's just.
Imagine.
It's tough, man. I appreciate Derek Carr for what he said. Like, a lot of people have been on him.
What did he say? I didn't even.
He was just saying that he deserves love in this moment, too.
And he does.
Yeah,
he does.
He's still a human being.
But I didn't want to completely kill the guy because he's 22 and we all did dumb stuff at 22.
Yeah.
So, you know, now I'm not telling you that he doesn't deserve to, you know, face time, because when you take a life, you deserve to face time. I'm sorry. You know, you know the consequences of your actions at that point. So but at the same time, I can't just browbeat the guy and, oh, you're this and you're that. Like, you know how it is. Social media, you know, everybody's a keyboard warrior. So, you know, everybody's, oh, yeah, he's the worst guy in the world. I would never do such a thing. Sure about that? Sure you don't want me to look up that Google history? So last thing, week 10 right now, what are your updated playoff picks? So you got you can list six teams in the AFC, six teams in the NFC. Is that how many it is? It's six,
seven,
right?
This year. Thank
it's
goodness.
Seven. Okay,
we wouldn't be talking right
we
now.
We would.
Y'all NFL draft stuff
was right. Yeah, very true, very true. Okay, seven teams in each conference, right? So I'll give you mine. I'm just going to go, Arizona? I'm just going to go by division. So that's what we'll do. We'll both go by division. That way we don't get confused or nothing. Okay, so in the NFC West, I'll go Arizona, It's tough because if OBJ signs with Seattle, I gotta pick Seattle. Right? Like,
what are they, like, 3-4, 3-5?
I think they're 3-5, but I'll have to let me see.
They've had Geno Smith, and I think he's played.
He's played well. He has, bro. I'm happy for him too.
Man, I love seeing him do that.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. I really am, because I did not think they was gone.
Shout out to Geno Smith. People forget,
for real.
Forget in a 6-week span in his rookie year. He beat Matt Ryan on Monday Night Football. He beat Drew Brees and Tom Brady. All three of them in a 6-week span. Every single day, I'm like, that's my guy.
Shout out to Gino. I like that. You remember that. I like that. Okay, so I will go ahead and... Oh, man, it's tough.
So the NFC West.
Okay. I'm gonna go three teams. I'm gonna be a homer. Wow. And I'm gonna say Seattle, Arizona, and San Francisco all make it. Two of them as wild cards, of course. And then in the NFC North, I'll go with Green Bay, obviously. The NFC South, I'll go with the
Tampa Bay.
I have no faith in Sam Darnold anymore, so I can't pick Carolina. I don't really have faith in Atlanta.
And then New Orleans, they...
But then that means I got to take a two NFC East teams.
Wow.
All right, I'll do it. I'll go Cowboys, as bad as they look yesterday. Woof. Dak looked whack, okay? I'll go Cowboys and Redskins. So that's my seven.
Yeah, Washington? Really? That's a...
I'm going to go Washington. That's a hot take for the day. I still think they got the better quarterback. I I'm not confident in the pick. Like, I'm just saying it. So I got, okay, let me review. Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, Buccaneers, Packers, and then
watch the football team.
You know what? Change it to the Giants. Giants and Cowboys.
That's
what I'm going to go with.
So you got to get Daniel Jones bounce back.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to go with, I'm going to start with the NFC West like you.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with the Cardinals for sure.
Of course.
Cardinals. And the Rams for sure. Okay. So those are my two out there. Okay. I don't see anybody else getting in there because it's too little, too late for them. Second half. Okay. And the NFC South, I'm going with the Buccaneers.
How did I miss the Rams?
I don't know. You put the Giants, like the Giants over the Rams.
You're right, I don't know why. Well, I couldn't pick four. So just change my that's the thing. I can't pick four, so I'll have to take Seattle out and put the Rams in. Okay, my fault. Okay, there you go.
Let me see. In the South, it's the Saints, no. Panthers, no. Who is it like? The Falcons, no. I'm going with the Buccaneers, leave everybody else out.
Okay. So all right. Right, okay.
In the North, I'm going to save the North for last. I want to try to save a spot for the Bears. We're going to see what we can do.
Okay. All right.
NFC East, Cowboys head and shoulders above the rest of the division.
Okay.
The Eagles are probably my favorite team to watch out there.
Okay.
Especially in the second half when they start running the ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see them there this year.
Yeah.
So then we're going to go with the Packers. I can't do the Bears, man. It's hard. I can't do it. Not with Matt Nagy. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Have impressed me.
They've had some close losses. Yeah. They really have.
It's tough. When you get put on the spot, it's tough.
It is. It's
tough. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. And then for the last spot, I'll go with the Vikings. Sorry about that, Bears.
Okay.
The Vikings.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson.
Because remember, the NFC, the records are,
so tight, yeah.
Yeah, at 3-5, you're still in it. I mean, you're still right there, literally. It's not, up three games back. No, you're like a game back, so.
Whoever made that 7 wild card spot needs a raise. They say in every podcast on earth.
For real. Okay, so AFC. Let's go AFC. So, I'll start in the West
I'm
again.
I'm going to grab my phone for this, because I got
it. Okay. Yeah, you got to remember the teams.
I get it.
I'll start in the AFC West. I'm going to go. The Chargers, I think, are going to win that division. And then I got Kansas City. But, the funny thing is Denver, their defense, man. For now, I'm going to go with Denver. I'm going to go with three teams out of the AFC West. I think they all going to beat each other. Oh, man, because the Raiders, though. All right, we're going to do them last. I'm doing them last. Let me go AFC East. Okay, AFC. Buffalo and New England in the AFC East. AFC South. Tennessee. I don't have faith in Indianapolis, but for now, I guess I'll take them. So I got four teams right now. And then in the AFC North, Cleveland. Pittsburgh, right? Man, Cleveland and Pittsburgh? Man, they can't all make it?
Cincinnati and Baltimore, too? Like, you got some...
Oh, my God. I got to redo everything. I forgot. You're right. Okay. Let me redo it. Okay. Bills-Patriots.
I like that.
Then AFC South Titans. I'm going to leave the Colts out. Because somebody's got to not be there between them and Baltimore. I'm leaving them out. I'm going Baltimore and Cleveland. Man, Cincinnati's good too, though. Oh my God, what? This is hard. All right. I'm gonna stay with this. So far, Buffalo, New England, Cleveland, Baltimore, Tennessee, and then in the AFC West, two teams. At some point, the Raiders, it's gonna be too much for them.
Yeah.
So. I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna take San Diego and Denver over Kansas City to make the play because they have a defense that can take you out of the game. Like they traded Von Miller and got better. So I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna say Kansas City, defending AFC champion 2 years in a row, missed the playoffs because down the stretch, you know. They are playing some cold weather games and.
You gotta run in those cold weather games.
Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, who you got?
I'm gonna come right behind you and pick Kansas City to make the playoffs.
All right.
That being said, I think the Los Angeles Chargers are gonna win the division.
Okay.
I'm gonna save the AFC North for last because it's just a logjam over there.
It is.
Okay. And AFC East, I'm going with the Bills, I'm going with the Patriots. So I got three more spots left. Wow. AFC South, gotta go with the Titans.
Okay.
I love what the Colts are doing with Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr. I think they're going to be great in the future.
Okay.
But the slow start they had and the schedule they had to start the year off was just a little bit too much to overcome. So I'm going to keep them out. And it leaves me with two teams in the AFC North. Knock Pittsburgh out. I don't trust Ben Roethlisberger to throw the ball past 10 yards. So I'm going to go with Baltimore. Last time I checked, Cleveland was still Cleveland. I'm going with Cincinnati. They were the number one seed a few weeks ago.
Oh, man.
I think we anointed them a little bit too early.
Okay.
They got a bye week 10. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, those guys are going to figure it out. The defense has been inconsistent. I think they figured it out too. So.
Yeah.
They're a young team. I think they're gonna find their way.
Okay.
They're going to knock out the Cleveland Browns for that last playoff spot.
Okay. That's my prediction. Okay. I like it. The boldness, though.
I'm not scared of it, man.
All right. Okay, so the last thing. You don't have to pick a Super Bowl winner. You don't even have to pick who's going to the Super Bowl. But tell me right now, if you had to make a bet or if you had to make a pick, your last four teams, two in each conference, who do you think your last two teams, like in the AFC and NFC championship games, who's playing?
I said at the beginning of the year that it was going to be the Rams and the Buccaneers, and I'm sticking with that. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Rams, for all of their faults, they've still shown you they can win and ugly wins.
Right.
They had some games where they've won low-scoring games.
Okay.
They've had some shootouts they won. So just the talent level that they've got with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Darrell Henderson, they've got skill position players at every position. Then you add a guy like Aaron Donald on defense, Jalen Ramsey. You're taking off big parts of the field. You know what I'm saying? Star power.
Right.
So I'm going with them to fix their problems. I think they performed well for the first half of the year, even though they're 5-3. And then Tampa Bay, it just boils down to really two words, Tom Brady.
Right.
I've never bet against – I learned my lesson when I bet last year and I bet against him in the Super Bowl. Never will again.
You bet against – all right, we talk about that later. Hold on. We'll talk about it. You should have consulted me on that.
I should
be like, hey, man, I'm putting some money down on this game. Like, who are you taking?
Oh, my goodness.
The team that's got Mahomes. Man, hold up. Like, that's how I would have been like, hold on.
Oh, my goodness. That being said, I'm going with Kansas City to get back to the AFC Championship game, and I'll tell you why again. Defenses, they haven't really faced the stiffest of competition. Now, they beat the Giants. Yesterday, they got a win over the Packers.
Okay.
Jordan Love and the Packers, so. But that being said, was it 51 points over the last 3 weeks, if my math is correct? So the defense is starting to figure it out.
Okay.
They got the defense getting healthy again. You know, everybody's starting to figure it out. So I'm going with them, and I'm going to go with Kansas City against – we've been wanting Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson for a long time. I'm going with it this year.
Okay.
And to make it even better, Clyde Edwards-Helaire game-winning touchdown to make up for that fumble in week 2.
This boy went thorough on it. I gotta get to him. He was even thinking about this. That's what I'm talking about. I like that. I like that. All right, I'm going to go in the AFC. I'm going completely opposite. Neither Chiefs, neither Ravens. I'm going Bills-Titans. Because there's something about the Titans that Josh Allen can't beat for some reason. Like, he's shown he could beat every other team. He beat Kansas City already on Monday night. Embarrassed him, actually, right? The Ravens, you know, I still think, like, last year he beat him in the playoffs. But I just think one-on-one, like, both quarterbacks are better, but I still trust McDermott and that coaching staff more than I trust Harbaugh and his coaching staff. Though he's been around, he's been doing it a long time. I like them better as a team. I think if they matched up, that the Buffalo would have the advantage. But I just, in the end, I would say those two teams to me, and I thought they were two of the best teams last year, and they were both playoff teams, but I think those two teams, it's funny, you wouldn't think Tennessee would match up well with them deep from a defensive standpoint, but their defense always manages to rise to the occasion against Buffalo. So I think it would be a great AFC championship, because whoever gets there will kind of mark a new age, right? You know, when everybody's been talking about Mahomes and Jackson, it's Tannehill and and Josh Allen. So yeah, and you know, the Bills, I really do think no matter what happens, I think they're gonna be there. Tennessee is more of a, you know, almost like I want them to get there. But I will say their defense has improved a lot. I did not think they were gonna be able to play defense the way they're playing it. Like, they're getting takeaways. That's the bit. When your offense is a top 10 offense, I don't need you to be a shutdown defense, but they've at times been a shutdown defense too. I mean, they held the Rams to 16 points, and 7 of those points were garbage time. So they really are taking it to another level, and people need to understand how good Kevin Byard is. Like, you know, this guy's been good the minute he walked in this league, and now that they're winning, they're 6-2, people are starting to see it a little more, and hopefully he'll get the recognition he deserves, because this guy is probably the best safety in the NFL. I mean, there's some really good ones, but if I had to pick one. And actually, on the Bills side, they got two good safeties, Micah Hyde and Kevin Poyer. Yeah. So what a game that would be. I would love to see that game. That would be great.
The safeties, man. Old school game.
Yeah, and don't let Derrick Henry come back. Oh, my God. That would be just – it'd just be great. On the NFC side, it's very difficult for me to pick, because I think that the teams, for the most part, are not – how do I want to put it? I feel like the separation between the top and the NFC is not as high as in the top and the AFC almost. Like, it's like, I still think, even though Buffalo's 5-3, I still think they're like right up there, you know? And it wouldn't take much, like you said, for Kansas City to get back up there. Their defense continues to make strides. They can be right there. They could be right there again. And we talking about, oh, they about to go to their third straight Super Bowl. So, but in the NFC, other than the
I just thought about a different team, and now I want to change my pick.
Who'd you forget?
Man, I like the Dallas Cowboys now, man.
You do?
I like the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't trust Wack Prescott. No.
Top 10 quarterback to me.
Because the one thing, and I always tell people, look, Dak is a good quarterback. But unfortunately, I think that's his ceiling. Like, yesterday kind of showed you, when he faces a good defense and they've taken Zeke away, he's not the guy who can win the game for you. He missed C.D. Lamb on at least 3 touchdown passes.
Hurt my fantasy.
3. Like, wide open. We called the right play. You just didn't execute it.
Now, see, I'm hesitant to say that, and I'll tell you why. He's coming back from a calf injury.
And that's another thing.
Dak, I mean, Zeke got hurt, too. He hurt his knee. He had to come out of the game for a little bit. So
this guy, I still believe they rushed him back. I still believe that, because when you tear as much as he tore and you bring him back 8 months later, this was not – that's why when he got hurt, I was like, I'm not surprised. He's still hurt. They just played him. You know, Cooper Rush played well. Usually when that happens, you know, you're hurt as a quarterback, right? But then the backup plays well and you win, you're going to be back that next week.
You gotta come back.
If you're not on IR, you coming back that next week. So – He's been hurt dealing with injuries and stuff, and that I hate that because that I don't know when he's gonna fully heal. He may not fully heal unless they just say we're gonna put you on IR for 3 weeks to make sure that you don't have a hiccup. But they're not gonna do that. We all know that. So they go keep playing them, right? And I would I'm with you in that division. Yeah, if there's one division you can rest in, it's that one.
You can win this division with six games. Like, I don't get it. Just rest them at it. That's what I would say.
But we'll see. I don't trust the Cowboys because they have 3 decades worth of showing they shouldn't be trusted. So I'm just going to wait. Yesterday's game, that did them no favors because you lose to a Denver team that traded away a franchise cornerstone. Teddy Bridgewater didn't really even play well. Let's just be perfectly. I mean, it ain't like he won the game. No, their defense won that game. Like they were phenomenal. They were phenomenal. So I can't trust them. I honestly think they're gonna be one and done. Like whenever they play, I don't care who they play. I think they're gonna be one and done. Like unless they play like the last seeded. Like the only way they would play the last seeded wild card team is if they're the 2 seed, right? So unless they like.
First round bye, one or the other. Like,
yeah, well, if they even in first round bye, I think they would get beat because they're going to play whoever the highest or the lowest seed is. But chances of the wild card team winning that is not high. I just don't trust them. I get you though. I get you saying that. Anyway, let me finish my pick. Tampa Bay. I had Tampa Bay and San Francisco as the two teams.
Because you're not sticking with that.
I mean, mathematically, I could still stick with it. But I don't trust D'Amico Ryans as a play caller on defense. He just – and I can't knock him too much because we don't have anything. We don't have a consistent pass rush. We don't have corners. Our safeties are bad, and now they're hurt. We only got Fred Warner, and he's had a down year. He's not been that playmaker that we came to –
He just got paid, right?
He just got paid.
He just paid offseason.
So, So, yeah. I'll just go Tampa Bay and that's a tough one.
I'm trying to think for you. Green Bay, maybe? I don't know. Arizona?
I don't trust Aaron Rodgers. 1-4 in NFC Championship games with an 83 rating.
That's not fair.
How is that not fair?
Have you seen the
how is
you talking to a certified Green Bay Packers hater. I watch all the games. I root against them.
Okay.
Have you seen the defense?
We only got a couple minutes, so make it quick because it's going.
Make it quick, I don't know the numbers off heart, like off the top of my head, but I know the defenses are giving up 40 points. Rather it's okay. Atlanta, rather okay. It's Arizona, rather okay. It's y'all last year.
Okay. 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 This is what I always tell people. Like, listen, the data always backs itself up. Last year, when he played Tom Brady, in the second half of that game, Tom Brady threw 3 picks. In the second half, the Packers had 8 possessions. No, I'm sorry. They had 10 possessions. Wow. He scored 8 points. So, look, man, when you turn on ESPN and they say Green Bay Packers, they talk about Aaron Rodgers before anybody else. So, if you're going to get that recognition and you're going to be one of the highest paid players in the league, when it comes crunch time, when you need to win in the playoffs, I expect you to perform, even against the best defenses. Because if you get 10 possessions against that defense, you shouldn't put up 8 points. And I'm not saying they weren't great. I'm saying... this is why we talk about you like you're one of the best of all time. You should have been able to overcome that. You should have been able to take advantage of Brady giving you the game. He gave you 3 extra possessions. We were looking at Tom Brady in that game and saying, man, he playing like he's 45. Like, so I don't. And even against San Francisco, if you say, well, it was the defense. Okay, but why did his offense only put up 6 points going into the third quarter? That's on him.
I don't remember him having the ball with Raheem Mostert running for 400 yards.
But again, when they got the ball, what did he do? He didn't score field goals or touchdown. That's what I mean. The higher standard we hold them to, right? They'll go, like, he was MVP last year. Right. So you can't go in the NFC Championship game at home and then tell me, oh, well, it was – they playing the defense. I was like, you scored – wait a second. You had a 49-4 touchdown interception ratio in the regular season. 49-4. And in the clutch moments, you get mad at the front office and the defense after the game, talking about they're the ones who blew the game. You scored 22 points at home. What are you talking about? No, it's not the defense's fault. No, I don't let people get away with that stuff. But you can't let people. No. Okay. We enjoyed having you, man. We're going to have to do this again. This was fun. This was fun. I got to cut it off because it's going to cut off on its own.